This morning's passage is a difficult one. Did you know that there are times when a doctor will break your leg? You know, if you have broken your leg and it is healed improperly, the doctor will break it and reset it. Did you know that there are times when a physician will pump poison into your body? And that's the case when you have something destroying your cells from inside. This passage, or actually, it sort of ends cheerfully, oh, praise God, he still trusts God. But the whole book itself is a very difficult, almost like a poison for the human being. If you are not deadly sick this morning, it may feel unnecessary to you, and you don't want to hear it. But it's the word of God, we're going to hear it, and someday you may be deadly sick in your soul, and this will be the poison that will bring healing to you. So it's a very difficult passage. A writer reveals that when she was 12, her mother had to write her own obituary because her mother was going to volunteer at a hospice. And that was one of the training points. And when this writer, she was only 12, she heard that, she thought, you know, that's really quite an excellent idea. And so she has said that every year since then, she's an adult now, she writes her own obituary at least once a year. What is the core of your life? How would you sum up what has been important to you? In Job 1:8, God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." This is the obituary. He's not dead yet, but this is the way God sums up Job's life at the beginning of the book of Job. At the end of the book, God, who has been bombarded with questions and accusations but has not responded, finally shows up. God shows up and walks into the courtroom where Job has been just throwing everything he can against the throne of God. And when God walks in, Job walks out. At the end of the book, God's evaluation of the life of Job might be somewhat more personal, more engaged, like with a lover. And it might be something like, "Job, I've never known anyone like him." The story of Job is ancient. It seems to have been passed down orally in a number of cultures and variations. The author of Job seems to have taken the story of Job, put one slice at the beginning, one slice at the end, and loaded up the middle with a lot of bologna and seasonings. This is the word of God presented to us in the canon of the Hebrew Bible. It is different as a book from the Torah, the law of God, the first five books of Moses. It's different from the histories that we have, the story of God's choice of Abraham, the Israel, the development of the nation, the slow way that Israel learns to believe in the one living God, the revelation of the system of priesthood, sacrifices, and national life, the admonishments of the prophets bringing Israel back in line with the word of God, the prophecies that the Messiah would come and change hearts with fundamental forgiveness and reorientation. This is not a book of the Torah. It is not a book of law or the prophets or of history. The book of Job is wisdom literature. And with wisdom literature, you have Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, some of Daniel, in the New Testament, some of John, James, and parts of Paul. You find wisdom. Paul was trained in wisdom literature as well as in the law. The teachings on wisdom contrast the two ways, the way of folly and the way of wisdom. The rewards of a wise life are blessing and success. The results of a foolish life are loss and ruin. This is the way of wisdom. As such, you will not find specifically the history of Israel with God, but you will find wisdom that is in common with most of the communities on earth. Wisdom teaches that there are consequences of attitudes and words and actions. You can expect that good choices will lead to good results and the opposite. Thus, we are satisfied to learn that God evaluates Job as good, and the comfortable circumstances of his life, the respect he has from other people, and his large family match what God says to him, a good man with a good life. But then the story takes a turn, and good attitudes and good words and good actions are not enough to guarantee a good outcome. We learn that there are other factors. Are there really two ways? Isn't there only one way that each of us, foolish or wise, have to pass? Whether we look good or whether we look bad, don't we all walk the same road of life? What are the other factors, such as God's business, that we have no way of knowing? We would never know that God is being challenged to find someone who loves and follows him just because God is God. It has nothing to do with good life, good results. Such as learning that the most righteous human being is subject to limitations. No one can prove themselves pure in God's eyes. No one can count on a good outcome due to their completely righteous behavior. The book of Job suggests that there's something about God that overrides the equation that a good person can expect a good life. Does this mean that there is no justice on earth? Not at all. But it means that there is something of surpassing value that takes precedence over all of our calculations of what is good. Honestly, we don't want this. We want a strictly predictable reward and punishment system. We want to be able to control God's actions through our behavior. And Job says, we can't control or even predict what God will do. Nobody wants this message, but the people who find comfort in it are the ones who have suffered or who just can't stop asking questions, too many for their own good, or for those who say, I don't know how to go on without understanding, but it's impossible to understand. We would like for someone to cheerfully explain, oh, I'm just kidding. Of course, if you do the right things, God will bless you and he will approve of you and he will reward you. But here's the thing, what does God think of you? God is with you. We learned this in Job. God enjoys you. God really enjoyed fighting with Job in this book. God's love and grace will not let you alone, even if you unless you insist. And even then, he keeps coming back for you. God tells the story about you. Look, here's my friends. I love them. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.